The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I need you to knock some sense into me. I'm sure you can.
Yeah, I don't know.
I enjoy listening to you. I don't always agree with everything.
All right. Enough of this persiflage.
So, you want my question?
I'm certainly not going to get myself in trouble by telling you what to do.
That makes great sense. Gosh, that's good.
That I overwhelm you with words and wisdom?
I've got 7 kids. I feel like I could call you every day.
Wait, you're telling me I'm wrong? Disconnect.
Yes, I am, Dr. Ray.
You just need to tune in to Dr. Ray, honey. He's got all the answers.
Am I right or am I right?
Probably.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Just once. Wish he would say, the hometown of Dr. Ray, too. But he doesn't. Have you here. This is not Look Back Friday, our normal Friday program is Look Back Friday, which takes previous calls, edited at the capable acumen of Andrew Kruchek, producer man. Today is a Look Ahead Friday, I guess, since the date is January 2nd. And Andrew, I know I dated the show, so you can just cut that out at some point if we ever decide to use this as a least worst of. This is a call-in. You can call in because we do this every so often. We decide, you know, we don't always want to make Fridays and Mondays unavailable for live calls. So every so often a Monday or a Friday is wide open for your calls. Now, this is still the holiday season, even though a lot of you have probably taken your Christmas stuff down already, you pagans like me. But you can call in with stuff that's happened over the holidays, maybe, oh boy, I hope there's not some family rift. Somebody came into town who lives 7 states away, and you see them once every 3 years, and they're as difficult as you remember them being, and it's like, oh no. So if you want to call in about that, or anything, I'm going to limit you. I am really going to limit you. People say, what's the topic? The topic is life. From conception to eternity. That's it. That's all the further we're going to go. So if it has anything to do with life in the womb, all the way out to faith and eternal existence after leaving this earth, okay. People, friends, situations, circumstances, frustrations, struggles, obviously, this is not therapy here. No diagnoses are ever given. And if you're seeing a therapist, I'm not going to comment because you're seeing a therapist. But it's always possible to drop a few nuggets into the stream and watch the ripple effects go out. Maybe make some changes for you. So, with all of that said and resaid, the number is 330. Oh, no, that's my cell phone. Never mind. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you would like to get onto the program on this non-Look Back Friday, on this wide open to your calls Friday, came across an interesting statistic. Again, statistics are, they need to be taken with heavy grains of salt most of the time, because I believe that 27.235% of all statistics are made up on the spot. But I came across a statistic that said something like 90% of folks who have made a New Year's resolution, in some cases it's a revolution, by February are no longer pursuing it. But this is the one that shocked me. 50%. Now, I don't know, do they survey people to get this? I didn't get into the details of this particular survey. 50% of people who make a New Year's resolution quit in the first week. Why is this? Why such a sad, pathetic record of follow-through? I've been pondering this. One of them is, let's go all the way back to the beginning, but pre-New Year's. Matter of fact, go back 10, 20, 30, 40 decades in most people's lives. It is easier. This is a rule of psychology, by the way. This is a long-standing rule of psychology that I made up just before I came in the studio. It is easier to talk than to act. That's a simple rule. And the only exception to that rule is apologies, where it is easier to act sorry than to say sorry. But that's another monologue. So it's much easier to say, this is what I'm going to do. Now, you don't have to publicly commit, even though public commitments make it more likely you will do it. There's research on that. But in your mind, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to work out more. I'm going to read more scripture. I'm going to be nicer to my grandma. Whatever it is, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to say the rosary. My wife always corrects me when I say the rosary. It's pray the rosary, Raymond. Okay. I'm going to pray the rosary in Aramaic while I kneel on broken glass and try to levitate between every decade. Not out of cell phone range. It's easy to say this, but then the demands of follow-through. Other things interfere. I was at the weight room today. Place was jammed. Oh, for heaven's sakes, it was jammed. Now, some of those were college kids who haven't gone back. But there are a lot of folks in there, and you can tell which ones. I don't want to digress too far. You can tell which ones are just kind of gone in. Because they do 9 sets of one exercise. They sit there and they do a rep of 10, then they fiddle with their phone, they do a rep of 10, then they fiddle with their phone, they do a rep of 10, wasting a lot of time. Increase the weight and do that rep of 10 to exhaustion and you'll be done. Sorry, digress. There's other reasons too. Oftentimes what happens... That's a funny word, isn't it? Oftentimes. What often happens is that we make this resolution and then we slip up. We have a lapse. You didn't go work out for 2 weeks in a row. You know, here it is, January 17th. You were just smoking. Not smoking, because that's one of your resolutions, was to give that up. But you went in. And you're doing fine. 2 times a week, nice hard workout. You didn't realize how weak you were in the upper body. It's okay. You go in there. Good for you. And then, you missed. You missed. And, okay, well, I only missed a week. I only missed a week. Not bad. Oh, you were going to go in Tuesday, but then what happened? Oh, Tuesday something happened. Something came up. You didn't feel too good anyway. And so 2 weeks you had this lapse. A lapse doesn't mean quit, but unfortunately, a lapse leads to a collapse. You stop. 2 weeks, I didn't follow through. What kind of lazy person am I? And that's it. That's what happens. One of the most common questions my brother and I get from women in the Y, and they have a weight room and an exercise room and all the equipment. And the ladies will say, how do you keep coming in? They'll ask me, how long have you been lifting? I go, I'm about 53 years. How do you keep coming in? I said, well, a lot of times you just have to show up. And here's the other thing I would say about a New Year's resolution. If it's something that you're going to do, pray the rosary, read more scripture, walk 2 miles a day, get in 6,000 steps, lose a pound a week, cut out sweets, whatever it is, don't debate. If you debate prior to, you will lose. Oh, it's 3:15. I know I should go over to the weight room, get in 20 minutes on the elliptical and maybe do a little upper body. I don't know. This is so easy not to do it. You debate, it's over. You cannot debate. You have to simply go on autopilot. That piece of cake is sitting right in front of you. And your mother knows you love that. That's your favorite cake. You're thinking, I don't want that. Just came through the holidays. I really want to lose a pound a week. Pound a week. I want to get back to my high school weight. Me, I wanted to get close to my birth weight. You know, if you just saw me when I was born, you wouldn't recognize me now. I've gained that much weight. Oh, yeah, when I was one, I looked good. I was in great shape. People looked at me and they said, wow. What are you, zero? Yeah. You debate, you lose. It would have been very easy for me. I got a couple of kids, my twins' birthdays were celebrating tonight. It would have been very easy for me to go work out and then go home. But I thought, no, I wanted to do a live show today. And I wasn't going to debate it. I could have called Andrew and said, Andrew, throw in a least worst of. It's holidays. Nobody expects me to be there. Well, interestingly enough, the lines are totally full. So somebody apparently expected me to be here. And then I said, no, I'm going in. I'm not going to debate it. I'm going in. And it was a good move. So we'll get to all of you folks. And thank you so much for your patience. I'll give you out the number. If you want to use those last couple of open lines, 877-573-7825. Thank you for joining me.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Stephen Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Our world is filled with noise, work, screens, and endless demands. But Christ calls us to step away and listen. The nonprofit Revive app offers one-on-one virtual conversations with certified spiritual companions who help you deepen your relationship with God, discern His will, and find peace. If even the saints needed spiritual guidance, how much more do we? Your first two sessions are free. Download the Revive app today. That's R-E-V-I-V, and then the number 3.
All right, no errors on air. Let's go to Armand, which is, I think, a derivative of Raymond. Armand is calling from Virginia. Hi, Armand.
Hey there. You're right. It is a derivative of Raymond. I only learned that recently, actually. Yeah.
I appreciate your parents naming you after me.
Yeah. I actually was happy to learn that because I didn't know I had a saint name. So that kind of leads into why I called. So I'm an adult convert. I came to the Catholic Church about a year ago through just learning church history. And so none of my family is Catholic at all. And so they are always dumping a lot of questions on me, not really in like a negative way or anything, like trying to convince me of their, you know, particular convictions, but more just genuine interest. But
sure.
I have never had an issue with this personally. In fact, it's kind of one of the things that compelled me to the church was the, you know, the idea that the saints are with us and actively, you know, hearing our prayers and petitions for asking them to pray for us and you know, actively involved in the spiritual life in a way that, you know, that we are, you know, like in a fuller way than we are on earth. But like my sister has been going through a lot in this last year, and she was asking me about that, and I was trying to give her answers without saying heresy and confusing her. And I just, I guess the general question is how to handle these big questions with family more broadly, sure, especially when they don't believe what you believe, but also like maybe specifically that question of how do I talk to her about, you know, those more particular Catholic forms of Christian prayer. Like those are things I guess I'm wrestling with.
Armand, you said the key. You said they weren't asking questions to attack or to trip you up. They were asking questions out of honest curiosity. I wanna know a little bit why you Catholics think this, or Armand, you know, you're the Catholic now, we don't know much about Catholic. If that's the honest approach, then I think it's pretty easy to say, yeah, I'd be glad to help you out on that, or be glad to answer that. Now, let's just jump on the question about the saints. Several things. The church has always taught that we are surrounded by so heavy a cloud of witnesses. Scripture talks about that. We run the race. Mm-hmm. So clearly, they are aware. There's also a verse in Revelation. It's a little bit different. I'll leave that out for now. I don't want to get too much into the weeds. So the church has always taught that the saints are more alive than we are. They're with God. And they are our brothers and sisters in the faith. They haven't stopped being concerned about us. So I would also ask, well, would you ask me to pray for you? Yes, I would. Well, then why wouldn't you ask someone that is in heaven to pray for you? Well, but you're alive. You're here. They're not alive? Well, what'll happen is they really won't know the answer to that. So that's the first thing. Second thing, obviously, praying to the saints is not worshiping the saints. Obviously, I can't believe how many people think that, but they do. You're only supposed to pray to God. You're only supposed to pray to Jesus. Really? So why do you come to me then and ask me, which is kind of a prayer, really? You're asking me to pray for you. There's a couple places you can go to answer these questions. First of all, we have great apologetic shows on Catholic Radio. There's a whole bunch of them. There's David Anders. There's Colin Donovan. There's Catholic Answers. There's just a bunch, and they know their stuff. If you go to Catholic.com, you can put in any question you want. For example, Armand, you go there, you say, why do we pray to the saints? And they will give you their written out answer. They will give you all kinds of stuff that you can look at. Well, why do we believe in purgatory? And they'll give you that. Why do we think that the Bishop of Rome is the Pope? They'll give you that. So they'll do all this stuff. You can have any question you want. Other thing you can do, and I just found this out recently, Father Spitzer, Robert Spitzer, is a brilliant, brilliant physicist type priest. They have Magis AI, M-A-G-I-S AI, and you could ask it any question. And it just answers you on the basis of all the stuff they've gathered. One other thing, a distant third, but I think it'll help you. I did a series for EWTN many years ago called What Catholics Really Believe. It was a DVD series. They ran it for a couple, 3 years, and it was made into a book. The book is called What Catholics Really Believe, and it deals with Eucharist, confession, papacy, purgatory, Mary, prayers to the saints, the Bible, sola scriptura, all the stuff that is the standard misunderstandings and even objections about the Catholic Church. That's on my website, drray.com. It's there, very readable. It is the dialogue between me and a priest. And I prayed the part of the questioner, saying, well, I don't understand why you would baptize a baby. Baby doesn't know what's going on. Why would the church promote baptizing a baby? Where's that coming from? So it's that kind of approach. So hopefully, Armin, a little bit of filler for you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Doctor. Those are great resources. I'll probably be getting your book later today. That's great.
All righty. Thank you, sir. What else we got there? Lisa dropped. I was going to go to you next, but you dropped. Shame on you. Renee is calling from Texas, and this is a tough one, because if I were to pick some area of human relations where people are most unsure of themselves, most ill at ease, it is with someone who is facing a terminal diagnosis. And Renee's friend had something piled on top of her to add to her weight. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. I have a dear friend, very successful. We went to college together in New England and traveled Europe together our junior year abroad. And we kind of lost touch a little, and then we got back together about 10 years ago. She was on her second marriage, and very successful person in the city, and thought she had a great life and had kids. And after 19 years of marriage, she contracted cancer, and then her uber wealthy husband is like, I'm out. And she's just like, she thought it was forever. She thought it was her soulmate. And she has deep faith. She does not complain about God. She goes to church. She prays. I've never seen someone so heartbroken. And I try to encourage her with scripture, with faith, with friendship, with laughter. But it's like a struggle. And I'm so worried about her. And she's feeling very alone. And she's
Is she blaming herself?
Person. I think she's so stoic and strong. I feel like she internalizes everything, and she's just sort of quietly in shock, quietly, but she's heartbroken. And I've spent the night with her, and I've heard at night the tears. It's hard. And I think she can't believe it. I think she thought it was forever that she got it right. And she married a very not nice, very selfish man. And, I don't know who can do this to someone, even if you don't have cancer, how you walk out on someone that you've made a life, a commitment to. But he's doing it with cancer. And I just think she can't believe it, because she's realizing he wasn't who she thought. And I'm just trying to keep her strong so she'll keep fighting for her kids,
That seems to be the angle you're going to have to take, Renee. That at this point, if she feels pretty confident that her kids love her, then her goal is to fight on for the kids. It sounds like, in her mind, she had a very solid, close marriage. And my guess would be, if he can up and take off like that, he was growing progressively more discontent the whole time about it. And then his attitude was, I'm not going to stay here and babysit you as you go through this kind of thing. I don't need that in my life. Probably his attitude.
100%. And I think that's hard for her to contemplate. She really tried to make it work, even when he said he wanted out for like a year. And
well, you're answering my question. I said, does she blame herself? And she does.
I think, you know what? She did a little. I think he's a mind player. He kind of made her feel needy. And I'm like, needy? That you believed that his vows were forever and that you tried to make it work?
Stay there, Renee. I'm going to have to take a hard break. Stay right there. And I ask all of you waiting patiently to stay there if you can, because I'm going to do everything I can to get to you. Try to spend a little extra time with everybody.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I Can't Get No Satisfaction is a popular song, but it could be a summary of our life on earth. In the book of Genesis, we hear that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that we can know the truth and we can choose to do good to others. We can love. It comes to fulfillment in the Sermon on the Mount where we hear these Beatitudes. It's the standard of the Christian life. Jesus tells us that if we hear what he says and do what he tells us to do, we'll be like wise people who build our house on solid rock. But we make progress towards happiness and blessedness by our actions, and it starts with our interior disposition, what we want to choose. Do you and I hunger and thirst for those things that will lead us to happiness and to God? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Thank you for joining me on this non-look-back Friday. As you can tell, we're taking live calls because we do this every so often. Renee's in Renee's not so much in the tough situation as her friend is. Friend been married 19 years. I don't know, second marriage. I don't know quite how the details on all of that. Married a very wealthy guy. Her friend has been recently diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, which is metastatic cancer, which is most often terminal. And the friend, her husband said, I'm up and out of here. I don't want to hang around and go through this. You're such a downer. But her friend is very stoic and very strong about all this. And Renee's saying, man, I'm doing everything I can to help her be strong. You still there, Renee?
Yes, I am. That's it in a nutshell. And Dr. Ray, I keep praying for her. Like, all day long I think about this woman. I have 4 kids and a faithful husband, but I keep praying. I keep telling her, God is going to use this in ways you can't imagine. And it even almost sounds hollow to me sometimes, but I really believe that if she'll let him. And I keep praying. I'm like, Lord, let her feel your arms. You'll never leave or forsake her. So that, like, but it's, I don't know. I call
Renee,
it because sometimes I feel like
I'm,
it's hollow.
I'm going to surprise you with what I'm going to say. Quit trying so hard. Just kind of be there for her. Just talk with her about life, about things, about her situation. Listen when she talks about, I can't believe he would do this. I guess I never knew him. You know, listen and just say, I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to go through this with you. That's probably the best thing you can do.
I like that. Like and Job's friends, be there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're trying so hard.
I internalize it. Yeah,
well, you're trying to say something that's going to make her feel better. You're trying to do something that's going to make her feel better. And you've done a lot of that. But at some point, she may think you're trying to drag her uphill. And she's just, I don't know. I don't know my motive. I want to do this. So
you're right. She just needs me to be her friend. You're right.
Well, I'm not used to women say
it's
you're
funny.
Right.
Today,
but
I took a screenshot of an app I wanted her to listen to, like a Catholic app, just if she is down. And I screenshotted at the bottom of the screenshot. She could see my mail, and it has 9,000 unanswered emails. He got the biggest, she's like an ex-Goldman Sachs, like so efficient, I'm not. He got the biggest stick out of that. And she said she laughed till she cried. There so you're go. Right. I think she just needs me to be a friend.
There you go.
You've taken the light. You thank you. I'm glad I called because it's weighing heavy on me, and I'm going to remember this because you're a wise guy. In a good way. Not a wise guy. A wise man.
Well, I get more accusations the other way, but I appreciate it, Renee. Thanks. Take care, honey.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Lisa from Montana. She's back. I don't know why she left before. You come, you go, you come, you go, Lisa, and then you just expect me to be at your beck and call when you come back.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it, but don't let it happen again. How are you, dear? Lisa, you
I'm
there?
I'm good. Thank you.
Your phone's acting funky.
Can you hear me now?
There you go. You're kind of like clicking in and out.
Okay. How about now?
You're good.
Okay. So, I'm trying to decide whether or not or how to make contact with my granddaughter. She'll be turning 18 the end of July. And our son has been estranged from the family. Unfortunately, my husband got caught up with child pornography online, child pornography, and he spent some time in federal prison for it. And he's been through counseling, and our marriage survived, thank God. But the girls were pretty young when all of that happened, and our son just couldn't deal with it. So he estranged himself from the family and forbid us to see the girls because they were younger. They were, I think, maybe 5 and 7 at the time. But this happened like 15 years ago, and we've settled everything, and the rest of the family has settled everything. But as the girls start to turn legal age, I've had advice from other younger people that for us to just show up in their life, for me to just show up in their life, is going to be traumatic for them, and that I should wait for them to contact me. And I'm asking for your advice on whether or not I should be contacting her when she turns 18, our oldest, or the other daughter is 16, or if I should wait and have them come to us. They live about an hour and a half away. Our son lives across country, and he is currently divorced and has remarried.
You have no idea what your son has told them about all this.
Exactly. And to make it worse, their other grandma she's not been at all supportive. She wasn't supportive of us as a family even before all of this happened with my husband. And so I don't know what to do. I had a really good relationship with the oldest granddaughter until this happened with my husband. She and I were very, very close. As close as you can be with a 5-year-old. So I'm at a loss as to what to do. And so
these people who tell you, Lisa, these people who tell you that you're to wait until she comes to you,
right?
Are they talking about you and your husband, or just you?
Me. And I think we both are pretty wise to the fact that I should make contact first and reestablish a relationship first. My husband's okay with that, too. But, no, they're saying that... and these are two younger women who have both had some trauma in their relationships growing up. And so they're coming from a trauma-based experience also, as to they, are saying that she knows you're there, she knows you love her, let her come, let her get out into the real world, find out that her parents are wrong about other things, and maybe they're wrong about this, and that...
What would your son do if he finds out you contacted her?
Well, he's 18. I mean, once they're 18, I would imagine he'll have a fit.
Okay.
You know, he and I were very, very close at one point. When I went out to confront him, I traveled to visit with him. He wasn't home, or the door was open. He didn't answer the door, so I rattled the door to see if it was unlocked. I was just going to go in, and he called the police on me and went totally ballistic. And so he's convinced himself that I verbally abused him as a child, which is outrageously...
So a lot of his estrangement toward you is, on one hand, His dad is, as he sees it, this weirdo. On the other hand, you're also not all that put together yourself because you were a bad parent, and somehow you might have known about all of this and hid it from everybody, so you're just as guilty as he is.
And he accused me of...
You're going to get cut off by the break here, Lisa. Let me stop you. I'll carry you through. I don't typically like to do this much carrying through breaks, but some of these questions are pretty heavy, so I want to give a few thoughts more to this, and then I also want to thank the people who are patiently waiting. This is Dr. Ray. Now, Catechism Wisdom with me, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and Father Larry Richards.
Father Larry, church talks a lot about charity, right? Let me read to you something that the Catechism says, section 2447. The works of mercy are charitable actions by which we come to the aid of our neighbor in his spiritual and bodily necessities. Instructing, advising, consoling, comforting are spiritual works of mercy. My profession says that we need to have people meet our needs. Now, this here seems to be a little, I don't want to say antagonistic, but maybe contrary to that.
The way of the world says me, me, me. The way of God says you, you, you. And when we sit there and we focus on the reality, it's in giving away your life, Jesus says, you find life. That is so anti-world, isn't it?
I serve to feel better?
Exactly. That's where we get everything. It's in giving away your life that you find life. That's the cross. That's the way of Christianity.
That's contrary to conventional wisdom.
Yeah, and that's the point.
Okay. Well, enough said there. Sorry. You know, catechism puts things on its head according to conventional wisdom.
Absolutely. Jesus comes and changes the world and turns the world upside down and says, you want life, then you give away life. And it's in that that we find true life. It's in serving that we become more fully who we are. As God left heaven, if you will, became a man and gave his life for us. And when we do the same, just as he found eternal life in his humanity, so will we. A life of self is a wasted life. God says, I'll take care of number one. You take care of others. And when you give away and you live a life of service, that's when you're going to find life.
So others are number one.
You got it. I have a thing that says, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. The life of joy, huh? That's the exact opposite of what the world says. But when you do that, you will have a joyful life.
Talking to Lisa, situation is this. Her son is estranged from her and her husband. 15 years ago, he was convicted of child pornography, spent time in prison. At the time, the son's girls were 5 and 7. So he figured that's no way, they're not going anywhere near. And my guess would be he used this kind of language, although Lisa didn't say this. They're not going anywhere near the man who calls himself my father. And now at this point, the oldest one has turned 18. Lisa said something. People are advising her. You do not contact this young lady. You let her decide if she wants to have contact with you. And there are several unknowns in this whole thing. The big one is you don't know exactly what this girl thinks about all this because you don't know exactly what she's been told back when she was 7 and she really couldn't understand the whole scenario. So obviously, I got to believe the son, he didn't pull any punches. Let's put it that way. So, that said, Lisa, a couple quick questions that I got to move on to other calls. This girl is out on her own?
Not yet. She'll be 18 in July.
But is she going to go out on her own?
I don't know.
Okay. I would be real reluctant to contact her if she's still living at home.
Okay.
I would. Because at that point... You know, you're going to deal with the father's supervision, And even though she's legally 18, he still has parental control at some level. Now, if she gets out, I would probably do something like sending her an email or a text or a message somehow and say, I wonder how you're doing. I know you're out on your own. You're independent now. If you'd like to get together and we can catch up on a lot of years, let me know. That's what I would do.
Okay.
That's the way I'd handle it. But I would wait. I personally would wait till she's out.
And not, and you think I should contact her and not wait for her to contact me?
Yeah, I would.
That's what my guy. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Good luck
Dr.
to you, dear.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh, good luck.
Okay. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye. This interesting situation from The Rock in Cleveland, AM 1260. Used to be the old Wixie, which was the Pop 40 station I used to listen to when I was a kid. And it was interesting to see Wixie, W-I-X-Y, become The Rock. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
How did you get the responsibility of burying your brother's ashes after 4 years when I'm going to assume his wife is still alive?
Yes, she is. My brother, he was baptized Catholic, but ended up as an adult having some very unusual off-the-wall ideas about church and the Bible and things like that. He was a lost sheep. He made her promise, he did have a terminal illness. He made her promise to not put him in a cemetery. He didn't want any kind of a church mass, anything like that. So she, the living wife, does not want to break her promise to her late husband and has recently asked me to take over the sibling.
Oh, okay. So she feels she won't be breaking her promise if she has somebody else do it.
Exactly.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I'm devout Catholic. I go to Mass every week. I know the right thing to do. I just need insight to make sure I'm looking at everything through my Catholic faith eyes. I don't want to miss anything.
Well, it would seem to me, and again, it's just my opinion, my dear, it would seem to me if he says, I don't want that, for you then to turn around and go, well, okay, but never mind, we're going to do it anyway. I mean, he said, I don't want that, right? He said, I don't want you to do that. Correct?
Right, but that was her promise to him.
Thinking,
well, I didn't make any promise to my brother.
No, but he still doesn't want that.
I know is right.
Well, wait a minute. What might be right is to respect his wishes, as wrong as you think they are.
Hmm.
He said, I don't want that. And she said, okay, mm-hmm. I promise. And then she's thinking, mm-hmm. No, I want to do this so maybe it'll help his soul. Well, his judgment is up to God. So whether he is buried where he's buried or whether he isn't, I'm sure he's long since gotten his judgment. So for mm-hmm. you to say, I'm uncomfortable doing this because he didn't want it. Yeah, but I was the one who promised, not you. Yeah, but I also would respect what he wanted, even though I had a friend who was basically an atheist and she was dying and I called her. And I talked to her about this, and she basically said to me, I am not at all going to rethink this whole thing at this point in my life. There is no way I am going to consider the question of God just because I'm dying. I said, okay. All right. And I had to back off. And it sounds like that's where your brother-in-law your brother is, which is, no, I don't want any of this stuff. And don't you be doing it after I'm gone, right? I mean, that kind of sounds like what he said, right?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I mean, see, it seems like a little bit of sleight of hand here where she's saying, okay, I didn't break my promise. You know, it's, you watch these crime shows, and the person says, well, I didn't pull the trigger. I didn't pull the trigger. Yeah, but you were driving the car. I know, but I didn't know he was going to pull the trigger. Yeah, but you were driving the car. You're going to get 12 years. Or the one who says, yeah, well, I just told him to scare him. I just told him it's my ex-husband. I just wanted him scared. I didn't know you were going to kill him. Yeah, but you set it up. So the parallel here is, I mean, obviously not serious like that, but it's a parallel where he said, no, don't do this. I don't want this. And then you guys are kind of saying, well, I know, but this would be better for him. I guess my question would be, how would it be better for him? He's already had his judgment. At this point, I don't think it matters where his ashes are. If he's in heaven, it doesn't make any difference. And if he's anywhere else, it don't make any difference.
That is true.
Just some thoughts on the fire there,
well,
dear.
Thank you for opening my eyes to that. I appreciate it.
Well, it's pretty slick of your sister-in-law, you know.
Wow.
I guess one other thing, you know, one other thing I would ask her, Andrea, is I would say, so what prompted you to say, I want to bury him, maybe even in a Catholic cemetery, when you know he didn't want that? What, why have you decided after 4 years to do this? That's what I'd ask her. See what she says. Because somehow she may be thinking it would help his soul.
All right, I will bring that up to her. Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye. Now, I'm going to take a little break, but before I... This is interesting. 10 years ago on this radio program, I never got a question like this. Up there in the call lineup is two questions about relatives who are declaring themselves trans. I don't care what anybody says. This is a major social phenomenon that is really, really being pushed by all kinds of other factors, and we better start looking into those. Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. He or she remains in the bosom of the Church, in its body, but not in its heart. The Church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
All right, let's go to Samantha from Buffalo, New York. One of the many calls I get now about family members deciding to change their gender identification, want people to use certain names, certain pronouns, and now she's also got two coworkers, same-sex attraction, who are getting, quote-unquote, married. Samantha, you never thought you'd have to grapple with this stuff, did you?
I just struggle with it, with the one family member
They changed their name, and we've respected that, and we're calling them by their new name. Their mom is Catholic and believes what I believe, but does call this person, this person was a female, you know, she's born a female. My family member calls her he, and I'm struggling with that portion. And with all these relationships, I'm working on loving them and treating them with respect, with that, which I do, but now, and I'm avoiding calling the one person he, the ones that are getting married, I'm avoiding the whole situation because I can't say I'm happy for them. I can't say congratulations. So I'm just wondering your thoughts on those situations.
Well, there is nothing, and I know this is cultural heresy, but there is nothing that says you have to acquiesce to whatever anybody demands of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting thing. We've targeted certain types of life choices as automatically to be accepted, applauded, celebrated, no matter what your particular perspective or religious belief is. So you've called this child, young adult, by the name change now. Okay, you've done that.
Mm-hmm.
But you just avoid the pronoun. Easy to avoid, right? Pronouns, I think. You know, you can always, you know, use the name. So how, rather than how is he doing, you can just say, so how is Kim doing, kind of thing.
Right.
You can do that. The co-workers are same-sex attraction. I would treat them just as you would treat anybody, but I wouldn't necessarily get into what they've chosen to do with their relationship.
Okay, and that's what I have done with both of those. But sometimes with the call and the he, the she, it's hard, right, to say the person's name instead of the she, because it doesn't always fall that way, you know. So she does come out, and it is what it is, you know. But
yeah,
I guess I was wondering what you thought, you know. And that's what I've been doing with the coworkers as well, just kind of avoiding. And I'm really truly just trying to love them as God would. But I was just, those situations I've been struggling with. You know,
Samantha, you want the bad news?
Sure.
If you love them,
mm-hmm,
and are caring and warm toward them, but you do not celebrate every single point regarding their sex choices,
mm-hmm,
you're probably going to get tagged as a bigot, as judgmental, as narrow-minded. I have found so very, very few people who have transitioned in their gender identification or who have decided they're going to live a certain same-sex way who have allowed other people the flexibility to say, well, this is my moral beliefs. I am confused by this. I don't understand it. And I think it is a situation that I don't want to wrap my celebrating arms around. And I've seen very few say, I respect that.
Okay.
Very few. Which, as a psychologist, tells me a whole lot of stuff about that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't demand anybody to accept anything about me that they don't want to accept. If I have 10 kids and they don't like it, okay, don't like it. That's your business.
Right.
I'm not going to demand that you have to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think you should do this. Okay, well, mm-hmm, you can think that. Go ahead. You're welcome. It's your decision. I'm not going to demand that you applaud whatever kind of thing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, but there's certain carved out areas, and I think it goes all the way back to our culture, just deciding we can sexually do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, to whomever we want. And I think that has become the flag that has said, you need to celebrate this, or there's something wrong with you. Thanks, Samantha. This is Dr. A. I got to run. A good Lord permit, and I'll see you Monday when the doctor is in. Walk with God. He knows the best way to live.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.